You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
It might have taken us 23 hours to complete the race, but NASCAR just got done with Michigan International Speedway, and what a race it was, because it provided excitement, entertainment, and of course, more drama going into the final few races of the regular season. We'll talk about the final results for the Xfinity Series race, as well as the Cup Series race, that and more in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. I hope that you guys, for the most part, were able to keep track of the race today, because unfortunately we had yet another rain delay in the fabulous 2023 season. As you guys are well aware, in almost every single race so far this year, we've had to deal with weather issues in one form or another, at least at one point in the weekend, and Michigan was no exception, as it was raining the entire time on Sunday, except for like a 1 hour gap, and that's where we were able to run part of the race. And then the rain came in, as well as the mist, and they decided to postpone. They were still drying the track as early as 12 o'clock in the day, so it was starting to get pretty late already as it was. But nevertheless, NASCAR was still able to get things done, so we were able to get ourselves a full race. But let me tell you, the action that we saw both on Sunday as well as Monday was just absolutely great as far as the Cup Series goes. Now, there was a bit of huge news going into this weekend that we should talk about before we dive into the final results, because some of it came about after we did our episode about our fantasy picks, and that is regarding the number 42 machine as well as the number 19 machine. As you guys are well aware, the silly season has been absolutely crazy as it is. I mean, we don't know which drivers are going to go where, and some drivers have made some crazy announcements. But one of the biggest rides that was left up in the air was the number 19 machine. Was Martin Truex Jr. going to make the return? Was he going to retire? What is going on over there with Truex? Well, he just made the announcement that he just signed another year with the team. So Martin Truex Jr. is not going anywhere and will remain with the number 19 car for Joe Gibbs Racing. It's honestly the right call. He's been doing really, really good here this year. I think if we saw something similar to last year, it'd be a different story. I think this would be Martin Truex Jr.'s final year. But they have definitely found something as a whole. Him and Jamie Small have been working really well together, putting up some really, really decent numbers. They're currently first in the point standings, and they might win the regular series championship. Three victories. It's just been super impressive for these guys. So there's no reason for Martin Truex Jr. to leave right now, especially him being at the top of his game. So don't worry for all you Truex fans. He will remain in the number 19 car for 2024. As far as the number 42 car goes, this is kind of a different story. So Noah Gregson has already had himself a horrible year, an absolutely terrible year. And I think a lot of people were quite shocked by that, because we saw the success he had in that number 9 car down the Xfinity Series. Got so many victories, running for a championship. It just looked like he was going to have himself a hell of a time moving up into the Cup Series. Well, he's had a hell of a time, but not in the good way. And things just went from bad to absolutely worse, as Legacy Motor Club has decided to indefinitely suspend Noah Gregson from the 42 car. Now, this was absolutely shocking. I don't think anyone really saw this coming. There was already talks that maybe he was going to get replaced by John Hunter Nemechek in the 42 car. And that would make a lot of sense, because John Hunter Nemechek is really closely tied to Toyota, and that's where Legacy Motor Club is going next season. Now it almost feels like it's for certain, because now Noah Gregson is not going to more than likely be returning to that team. This was mostly due to the fact that he decided to like a very, very offensive post on his social media pages. If you guys want to know exactly what it was basically the crab from The Little Mermaid. I'm forgetting. Sebastian. That's who it was. Sebastian in the live remake. But instead of it being Sebastian, he decided to put George Floyd's face. If you do not know who George Floyd is, he was the person who unfortunately lost his life due to, honestly, police brutality. There's no other way to put it. Police brutality in 2020, which led to the massive riots. And it's basically making fun of that situation. I think you can put two and two together. What does Sebastian sing in The Little Mermaid? And what happened to George Floyd? That's basically what he liked. And there is no redeeming point for someone at that high of a level like Noah Gregson to be liking a post like that. So it just looks bad for the team. It looks bad for NASCAR. But above all, it looks really bad for Noah Gregson. Now, Noah Gregson has apologized and admitted fault. But I don't think that's going to give him a ride for the rest of the 2023 season if Legacy Motor Club decides to keep him off the number 42 car for the rest of the 2023 season. This is just one of those rough situations. A lot of people are arguing that a suspension shouldn't have happened. Well, in my personal eyes, I believe a suspension should happen. And the reason why I state that is simply because if we're going to suspend Kyle Larson for him making a comment like he did in the Mazda iRacing back in 2020, then something similar to this that's offensive should be dealt with in the same way. Now people can say, oh, it's not the same exact thing. In fact, the meme was actually funny in itself. There's nothing funny about anyone passing away, first off. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care the situation going on with any of the parties. Someone passing away is just not funny. If you think that's funny, then why don't we do a meme about Dale Earnhardt dying? I'm pretty sure those same people will not find that one entertaining. And it should be treated very seriously. And I think Legacy Motor Club also wanted a reason to get rid of Noah Gregson, because that duo has not been working well. Overall, the 42 cars just been struggling tremendously. It's just a bad situation. So Josh Berry filled in for the number 42 car. I will not be surprised if we see him in more in that number 42 car for the rest of the Cup Series season. But very, very unfortunate situation for all the Noah Gregson fans and Noah Gregson himself. However, he did bring it upon himself, so it is what it is. But that will conclude the biggest bit of news that we need to talk about before we dive into the final results. The Xfinity Series, as well as the Cup Series, raced this weekend at Michigan International Speedway. The Truck Series took this weekend off. But in these two races, we had ourselves some very exciting races from beginning to end. There was a lot of drama, a lot of tension, and above all, just some good old-fashioned racing. So without further ado, why don't we dive into the first race that happened here this weekend, the 21st race of the 2023 season for the Xfinity Series. Let's look at the final results for the Cabo Wabo 250. The Cabo Wabo 250. That almost reminds me of the Bushy McBush Race 400. Just as goofy as a name. But at least for this one, it is a certain, I think it's a tequila brand. I could be wrong, but it looked like it was some type of alcoholic based company. But anyways, here in the Cabo Wabo 250, we had a total of 40 cars on the entry list, meaning two cars were going to miss out on the main show, and those two cars were the number 44 of Mason Massey for Alpha Prime Racing, as well as the number 53 of CJ McLaughlin for Joey Gase Racing. Very unfortunate for these two teams. They are both running full-time schedules. Alpha Prime Racing went to a three-car team, and they've been struggling this year, but nothing is worse than having your car starting to miss the show. Same thing for the number 53 team, as they expanded to a two-car team this year, and that 53 car has missed a couple of races here and there. We had a total of seven cautions for 31 laps, and we had seven lead changes among six different drivers. In the end, though, it's been a driver who's been pretty dominant here in the 2023 season, but the fact that he was able to get the victory after being in part of a huge caution that happened on lap number 12, he was still able to get the victory, and that was the number 20 of John Hunter Nemechek, leading 65 laps, winning stage 2. He is your winner here at Michigan International Speedway, and let me tell you something. John Hunter Nemechek just on an absolute binge here in the Xfinity Series. I will not be surprised if he is the one who replaces Noah Gregson in that number 42 car, because the kid has talent. I always said that they moved him up into the Cup Series way too quickly in that number 38 car. I think the same thing happened to Anthony Alfredo. That 38 car was just always in a state of bad luck. Luckily, Todd Gillen has pointed in the right direction. But John Hunter Nemechek felt like he had his opportunity in the spotlight, and then it was gone. Luckily, Kyle Busch Motorsports picked him up, and then we started to truly see what would happen if John Hunter Nemechek had the right equipment and worked at his pace. And we have seen it here in this number 20 car as well, going full-time, and he's already gotten multiple victories here this year. The only thing that's kind of lacking is a little bit of consistency in races where they struggle at. But this race kind of really takes away from that, because at the very beginning, all of Joe Gibbs Racing got caught up in a pretty big incident. except he was still able to come back, him and Ty Gibbs both, to run inside the top five, and John Herron Nemechek gets the victory. We'll talk about these two drivers a little bit more here later in the next few minutes, but overall, great performance by John Herron Nemechek. He's proven to everyone now that, yes, you've had Justin Allgaier, yes, you've had Austin Hill, yes, you've had Cole Custer all have their shining moments, but John Herron Nemechek has always been in discussions from beginning to end, so really good job right now for John Herron Nemechek in the regular season, getting all the momentum he needs going into the playoffs. In the second spot, we have the pole sitter, the number 8 of Josh Berry. Josh Berry had himself a pretty consistent run. I know he's trying to get that victory, and he needs to do everything he can right now to get some playoff points, because as of right now, it does look like he's going to be able to make it into the playoffs. That doesn't mean he's going to be in a good position, because right now he doesn't really have hardly any playoff points. He has no victories right now. It's hard for him to get stage victories right now. And so Josh Berry is kind of struggling here, and he came so close to getting that first win of the season. Fortunately, it has not happened. I'm not worried about Josh Berry just falling apart here in the Xfinity Series. I think he's done himself a really, really good job. But similar to Sam Mayer, who thank goodness was able to get his victory at Road America, he's always right there in the mix, just not able to finish it all the way through and get that victory. Of course, he's won a few races back in 2022, but this year, it almost feels like Sam Mayer. And you're going to be at a huge disadvantage in the first three races because of those lack of playoff points. And it's actually going to be a disadvantage all the way through because you keep resetting at around zero while everyone else has about 20 or so points already ahead of you. People like John Herron Nemechek is already going to be sitting way high when the playoffs start. So, I mean, good run for Josh Berry, but we all know he's trying everything he can to get the victory. And looking at the races going forward, both road course races, you also got Daytona. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like Josh Berry's going to be able to get that victory here in the regular season, but we will find out. Good finish for the number 9 machine of Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones just needed some type of W in any shape or form, and he finally got it here in this race with a top 3 finish. We know he was going for the victory. He needs to get the victory, but we're going to take small wins where we can. Because it's been a really, really bad season for Brandon Jones, from being a contender for the championship 4 to now probably not going to be able to make it into the playoffs, as this number 9 team has just really, really just not clicked nearly as well as what we saw last year. But with that being said, I do believe Brandon Jones is going to be able to get some better finishes here near the end. I don't think he's going to be able to get the victory. But a third place finish, they should be really proud of that, because, like I said, it's been a rough season, and any types of W's you can get here near the end of the regular season will bring the team up some morally, of course. In the fourth spot, we have the number 19 of Ty Gibbs. A decent run for him. He was obviously going for the victory. Him and John Herron Nemechek tangled up a little bit, and these guys do not really get along too well, even though they're on the same team and with the same manufacturer. So hopefully they can patch those things up, because, again, more contact was made between these two here in this race. Ty Gibbs, obviously not happy. I don't think he really interviewed anyone. He got out of his car and left. So Ty Gibbs still has that anger that we used to see the last couple of years. But what's the best way to put this? It's worrisome if you're a Toyota manufacturer, because you have a good feeling that John Herron Nemechek is going to be coming up into the Cup Series, and you have one of your biggest future stars of Ty Gibbs and them not getting along. I don't know. They really got to figure things out, even though they're not really racing against each other for a championship. Even in races like this, it is extremely important for these two to get along, because, like I said, eventually, in some shape or form, they will become teammates here in the Cup Series. And if they are fighting all the time here in the Xfinity Series, one of them has to be the bigger person. Right now, it sounds like it's going to be John Herron Nemechek who's going to go talk to him. With that being said, it was John Herron Nemechek who got into Ty Gibbs. So, I don't know. A little bit of tension here. But, hey, at least a top 5 for Ty Gibbs, who was also in that same accident. Fifth place was the number 1 of Sam Mayer. Another consistent run for him, running around the top 10. Riley Herbst doing exactly what he needs to do. Finished 5th and 4th in both the stages and able to finish 6th overall. 44 points, that is definitely a good direction for that number 98 car to put himself higher above the cut line against some drivers who finished right behind him. You have Parker Kligerman in the number 48 finishing 8th. Parker Retzloff in the number 31 finishing 9th. And his teammate Jeb Burton in the number 27 finishing out in the 10th position. Some drivers who unfortunately had good runs at the first half of the race but were not able to have the same success in the second half. One being Justin Allgaier. Justin Allgaier, this race seemed like it was going to be his race. and unfortunately got spun out in the middle of pit road in one of the pit cycles, and he was never able to recover. It just showed you how important it was to stay in the front of the field. And even though he had one of the fastest cars in the first half, for him to finish 14th was definitely a lackluster finish for the team. That's now back-to-back races where things were looking really, really good and things just fell apart. It almost puts you in the same boat as Ryan Blaney at the beginning of the year, as well as the end of the 2022 season, where, hey, he does good in the first half, but something happens to him in the second half. I'm hoping that that's not the case here for Justin Allgaier. Another driver who struggled there near the end was Cole Custer, kind of a little similar to Justin Allgaier, just unfortunately got stuck in the back and was never able to get back up front. So he finishes 16th overall in this race. Got some stage points, but as of right now, he's already got himself locked in, so he's trying to get playoff points. So, bit of a bummer finish for them when they had themselves a really good car in the first half. Brett Moffitt finishes 17th in that number 25 machine. Yes, he was able to lead four laps. Yes, he was able to get stage points. But unfortunately, he has lost now 23 points against Riley Herbst because of his finish. So that is going to hurt that team. They're in a must-win situation almost, it feels like, at this point. So Brett Moffitt really has to dig deep with the Team AM Racing, and hopefully they do. I really like this team, but as of right now, you're starting to see the bigger teams starting to shine when it matters most, and the smaller teams like Parker Kligerman and Brett Moffitt just slightly off their game, and it's going to be that much that separates them from making it into the playoffs. Some drivers who had some bad finishes here who wrecked out early, one being Carson Hocevar. Carson Hocevar was actually able to finish the race, but he had so much damage that he could not really compete. So him in that number 77 car finishes 32nd. I would love to see him again get another opportunity with Spire Motorsports, which more than likely is going to happen here as he's been running really good in that number 77 machine. Just unfortunately got caught up in an accident on lap 12 with the Joe Gibbs Racing Camp as well as the 08 machine, and it took him out of contention. It really did. So a bit of a bummer there. And the one who got the worst end of that was Sammy Smith in number 18, who collected the most damage in that. His day was over before it even began, out on lap number 11, finishing 38th overall here in this race. Above all, this was a fairly decent race. There wasn't really anything to frown upon. I thought they provided themselves a good, entertaining race. We had ourselves a lot of passing overall for the lead. You couldn't really tell who was going to be the winner there at the end. Maybe at the end it felt like, yeah, it was going to be John Hunter Nemechek. But for a while, it looked like it was going to be a three-way battle between Justin Allgaier, John Hunter Nemechek, maybe Josh Berry or Ty Gibbs. And just in the end, it just felt like John Hunter Nemechek just got the right restart, took off, and he never looked back. So great run for John Hunter Nemechek, getting himself another victory. And as far as the Xfinity Series goes, as far as the points, here's where the points sit right now. Here's the eight drivers who are locked in. John Hunter Nemechek with 5 wins. Austin Hill with 4 wins. Cole Custer with 2. Justin Allgaier with 1. Sam Mayer with 1. Chandler Smith with 1. Sammy Smith with 1. Jeb Burton all have 1 or more victories, and they are in the 1 through 8th position, meaning there's 4 spots left as far as points goes. Josh Berry sits 126 points above the cut line, so things are looking really good for him. Daniel Hamrick able to keep a good distance between him and the cut line as he finishes in the 15th position, but he only lost 5 points against Parker Kligerman, so he still has himself a comfortable gap. Riley Herbst, as mentioned, he was able to put a big cushion between him and the cutoff line. He sits 40 points above the cut line, and Sheldon Creed is in the final spot, only 18 points above the cut line. 18 points back is the number 48 of Parker Kligerman, followed by Brandon Jones in the number 9, 45 points, and Brett Moffitt in a must-win situation at this point as he sits 86 points behind the cut line. Right now, it's looking like it's going to be Sheldon Creed and Parker Kligerman. Let's see what they do here as far as the road courses go. Both these drivers have really strong performances overall when it comes to the road courses, so that should be interesting to see. But overall, still pretty intense here for this final playoff position for the Xfinity Series. Now it is time to dive into the big show that happened here this weekend, the 23rd race of the 2023 season here for the NASCAR Cup Series. Let's dive into the final results for the Firekeepers Casino 400. So in this race, we had shockingly 37 cars. Oh my goodness, we actually had an open charter car, and that was the number 62 of Austin Hill with Beard Motorsports. I'm always happy to see an open charter team just be on the entry list. Thank goodness the Indianapolis Road Course is coming up, because now we got a few open charter cars that are going to be running this race, and drivers who could be potential contenders in that race. Anyways, we're going a week ahead. Austin Hill was in this one, and we had a total of 9 cautions for 43 laps. It was definitely a caution-driven race, something you don't usually see here at Michigan, as about 20% of the race was ran under caution, and we had 26 lead changes among 16 different drivers. The next-gen machine proves that these bigger oval racetracks are definitely its strongest, and in the end, how about back-to-back victories for the number 17 of RFK Racing? He is able to get the victory, and what a great performance, because he was able to lead 52 laps in this race more than any other driver. He wasn't the strongest, but he was able to hold off his line, and he is able to get the number 17 car back-to-back into victory lane for the first time since 2009. I don't know what's going on with Chris Buescher right now, but Chris Buescher has just shown some real big talent with RFK Racing. Yes, Brad Keselowski's been in that mix as well, so RFK as a whole has shown a stronger performance, but Chris Buescher has been the leading driver. Now, maybe some people are a little surprised by this. I'm not. We have seen in the past how strong Chris Buescher can be if he's given the right equipment. There's a reason why he became a back-to-back champion down in the Xfinity Series. He just needed some really good equipment, and I think now he's finally getting it with RFK Racing. Brad Keselowski has definitely really helped out this team, and you're seeing it now. You're seeing Chris Buescher, who is already well above the cut line as far as points went, so he was already having himself a good run in the season as it was, but he gets the win at Richmond, he gets the win at Michigan, has all the momentum in the world, and by the way, he has these road courses coming up and the Daytona race, racetracks where he does really good at, or overall, the team does really good at, which would be Daytona. I'm excited for Chris Buescher. I'm excited what he could do here in these next few weeks and even into the playoffs. Who knows? He could be the Chase Briscoe of the NASCAR playoffs, you know, slowly but surely making his way through each and every round, and could be a contender there for the championship four. That's definitely stretching it, but as of right now, things are looking really good for him. At the same time, who else was able to do this was Kevin Harvick, who won both Richmond and Michigan last year, and they got eliminated in the first round. Well, let's see what happens there, but great job for Chris Buescher, really good run, but the strongest driver here in this race was Martin Truex Jr. Martin Truex Jr., man, just this season has just felt so good for anyone who's cheered for him. I felt like it was going to be a struggling year for him. You know, he had that whole personal situation going on. He felt like, I don't know, I bet he felt in a way that he wasn't at the same level as he was before. But then all of a sudden, just coming back, being a contender in so many races, and he almost wins his fourth race of the season, points-paying race. I forgot he also won the LA Clash. And unfortunately, here at the end, he just couldn't find any open spots to be able to get past Chris Buescher, because this was really one of those races where dirty air played a major importance, and sometimes that can really ruin a race. I think it really elevated this race as far as excitement there near the end. It was a great run for Martin Truex Jr. He's able to get 2 playoff points thanks to his 2 stage wins. He's able to put himself at a bigger gap with William Byron, who, by the way, unfortunately hit the wall at the end of stage 1, so that inevitably ended his day. So, I mean, Martin Truex Jr. has a lot to keep his head high for, especially with the amount of points he was able to gain. But man, I'm pretty sure he just wanted 2 more laps at the most, and he was going to be able to get by Chris Buescher, because there at the finish, these cars were almost side by side. Probably one of the closest finishes of the year, for sure. So, great performance by Martin Truex Jr., and also a great performance by his teammate, the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, who at first it didn't look like he was going to get a good finish because he was suffering from issues exiting off of pit road in the middle of the race on Monday, but he was able to get that going, and he recovers for a 3rd place finish. Denny Hamlin, I know a lot of people are not on his side, but he's having himself some really good runs. He's being really consistent, and he could once again be one of those drivers who just runs consistency throughout the playoffs, and if he keeps this momentum going, it's going to look really good overall for Joe Gibbs Racing, as you have Martin Truex Jr. Contending for victories left and right, and then you have Denny Hamlin also contending for victories, but also being super consistent. In the fourth spot was the number six, Brad Keselowski. He had himself a really good run here. I know he wants to get his first victory, but he's got to be just as happy seeing Chris Buescher getting these wins as well, because the 17-6 team has just been strong together. When Chris Buescher's gotten his victories, Brad Keselowski's been right around in the top five. So it's not just one driver. It's the whole team just making major improvements. So that's just something you got to be really happy about for this team. The team that has shown a real big decline has been Hendrick Motorsports. Thank goodness they were able to get Kyle Larson to finish in the fifth position, because everyone else finished 33rd or worse. It was a terrible, terrible weekend for Hendrick Motorsports. And almost in that same accident that took out Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson was almost one of those victims as well. Luckily, that was not the case, but whew. I don't remember a time where we had all four Hendrick cars finish 32nd or worse. It almost happened here in this race. Luckily for them, it didn't. They had Kyle Larson, the only consistent driver for this weekend, as he's able to get the fifth position. But Alex Bowman, out due to an accident on the back straightaway around lap 134, his car was inevitably destroyed from that incident. And then he had William Byron. He hit the wall off the exit of turn four coming to the end of stage one. That ended his day. And then Chase Elliott got loose. I think he actually lost a tire, went right back into the wall. He really destroyed his car, and his day ended on Sunday. Same thing with William Byron. His day also ended on Sunday. So just a rough performance by Hendrick Motorsports. I don't know what's going on here, but man, it's been a bad couple of weeks for this team. In the sixth spot was the number nine of Daniel Suarez, followed by his teammate, the number one of Ross Chastain. Finally, Trackhouse Racing gets themselves a decent finish here, as it felt like the last few weeks they have been another team that was struggling. But Daniel Suarez did exactly what he needed to in this race, put him right back into the mix, able to finish second in stage two, able to finish sixth in stage one, score 45 points. I did not think he was going to be able to come back and do that. I did not think he was going to be a good gamble pick, but he played the point system for the stages to his favor, which was very smart for that team. That puts him right back into the mix, right there in the mix with Michael McDowell and Ty Gibbs, which is exactly what this team needed, because they were able to finish in front of both those drivers. So good job for Daniel Suarez to be able to score 45 points here in this race. Ross Chastain, he was able to finish 7th. I think we were hoping for more stage points. I know I was, as he only scored 30 overall here in this race. But still, step in the right direction for Ross Chastain. At least he was able to get a top 10, because it felt like ever since his victory at Nashville, there really hasn't been anything exciting going on for the number one car. And a lot of people were wondering what's going on with Trackhouse. Well, they were able to come back here at Michigan, which is a pretty big, fast racetrack that's important to a lot of people. In the 8th and 9th position, we have the number 4, Kevin Harvick, with the number 12 of Ryan Blaney. Both of them getting themselves respectable top 10 finishes. Unfortunately, neither of them able to get any stage points, so they were kind of mediocre as far as performance went. I thought that the number 4 car was going to be one of the top 4s, same with Ryan Blaney, and that just wasn't the case. They were good drivers to have in your 4th or 5th spot, but I think RFK Racing has really shown that they are the top representatives for the Ford camp right now. And then rounding out the top 10, we have the number 43 of Eric Jones, who just needed a good finish. He just needed a good finish. At least he's keeping that consistency going, putting the team on his back at Legacy Motor Club. He's able to finish 10th, score 29 points. That was also another good driver to take a gamble on. Not nearly as good as Chris Buescher, but hey, you know what? Still scoring 29 points. If that was your sixth driver to rely on, you had yourself a pretty good weekend. Ty Gibbs finished right behind him. He was the top finishing rookie. He was able to finish 3rd in stage one, scoring 34 points. So not a bad driver to take a gamble on. He had himself a pretty good performance overall in a race that he needed to. Driver who was able to climb back from a lot of adversity was Christopher Bell, as Christopher Bell got into a wreck as he spun out trying to get past Alex Bowman in the Sunday race. Not in the Monday part, in the Sunday part. But they were able to fix that car back up that looked evidently destroyed, and they were still able to come back and finish 13th. That is something to definitely keep an eye on, because whenever I see teams struggle like that and bounce back, that's usually still a good telltale sign. So keep an eye on him in these next few road course races. He might impress quite a few people. And then now we move down the rosters to some drivers who struggled. Joey Logano just I don't know. It was a mediocre day. He finishes 14th, 27 points. He's kind of in the same boat as Kevin Harvick and Ryan Blaney. We expected way more from them, and unfortunately, they just did not give it to us. Bubba Wallace had himself a really good start to the race. Unfortunately, he did not get the good finish that he deserved, but still scoring 35 points, you're still happy if you took him as a gamble pick. Something about 23-11, they cannot execute races. And Bubba Wallace's finish was bad, but not nearly as bad as Tyler Reddick, who unfortunately got a loose wheel in the final pit stops, ruined their day. And let me tell you something, he was pissed off, absolutely pissed off at his team, and rightfully so. I mean, they knew they had to wait for fuel as it was. The tire changer looks back at the lug nut and get ready to run back, and he's like, nah, it's fine. That was a big gaffe by the pit crew, and it really affected Tyler Reddick. Another race that should have been really good for him, and it just fell apart. Absolute bummer for them, and they would have been in that mix with Chris Buescher and Martin Truex Jr. I almost guarantee they would have been in that mix, but unfortunately, that was not the case due to pit stop error. So definitely a bummer for this team. At least we can say we didn't expect him to do good in fantasy because I didn't really think much of him. Otherwise, I was going to look like an idiot. So that's the only W in this situation. But Tyler Reddick, just him and his pit crew just need to figure things out when going into the playoffs here in the next few weeks. Drivers who are trying to make it in by points, AJ Allmendinger and Michael McDowell, do not have themselves that great of performances here in the end as they finish 24th and 26th. Now, Michael McDowell sustained some damage in the middle of this race, and they were just working on that the entire time. Really affected the team, so that was a bummer. There wasn't much that they could do, but AJ Allmendinger's team was another team that just struggled. I mean, they had an 8th place finish in one of the stages. Things were looking good. And then they finished 26th. Not the finish they needed, especially when you have someone like Daniel Suarez finishing up in the top 6, as well as Ty Gibbs right up there in 11th. Those are the two drivers who are currently above the cut line, I do believe, at this point. And those two are for sure below the cut line. I know these two will look really good at the road courses, but you don't want to leave any points on the table that you should have been able to gain on your fellow competitors. Because we also know that Daniel Suarez and Ty Gibbs are good at road courses. So it'll be very interesting to watch these guys. But Michael McDowell and AJ Allmendinger did not produce great results when we felt like they absolutely needed to. And in the bottom tier, we have the Hendrick drivers that we talked about. And Kyle Busch, once again, with a rough, rough finish. I had both Chase Elliott and Kyle Busch on my fantasy roster. So I was screwed this week. I was really screwed. But just to see Kyle Busch make that mistake, it was quite shocking, to say the least. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe these drivers who are trying to push it to the limits, trying to find the extra gap like William Byron and Kyle Busch, since they have that cushion, obviously, to make it into the playoffs. Maybe they're experimenting. But at the same time, we see drivers who did not need to experiment. They need good finishes, like Alex Bowman and Chase Elliott, also falling apart. It just seemed like top drivers that we felt like should have ran well in this race just fell apart. I mean, Kyle Busch won a racetrack similar to this earlier this year. William Byron has shown a lot of speed at the oval racetracks. What happened here? I just don't know. I think the cars just got away from all four of them. Well, three of them. Alex Bowman got turned. And it was just an absolute bummer. It was an absolute bummer for all the fans down here for these three drivers. Luckily for the Byron and Busch fans, they're looking pretty good as far as points goes, obviously, since they have multiple victories. But Chase Elliott is now in a must-win situation. I know there was a lot of speculation that, who knows, maybe he can make it in by points. Now that's all gone out the window. He's got to win at either the Indianapolis Road Course, Watkins Glen, or Daytona, races that he has been successful at in the past, but this has not been the same year that we have seen in the past for Chase Elliott. So who knows, but either way, bad finishes for all these top drivers. Overall, this race, absolutely fun, absolutely entertaining. I know people at Richmond were trying to say that race was a good strategy race. No, this is a good strategy race. This 100% play to strategy, who was going to go down pit road, who was going to stay out during the stages. It worked so well. The racing was close. The passing was close. The restarts were close. The cars were struggling to stay on the racetrack. There was a lot of cars getting loose, as we saw, obviously, with some drivers spinning out. This is a good strategy race. Richmond was not a good strategy race because nobody could pass. The strategies was if you just were out front, you were going to run really well in the race. That's it. I do not like those strategies at all. You had to have a good car in this race as well as be up front. And the cars just were hard to handle. They were really hard to handle. And I bet you at Richmond, that was not the case because they were just already running as slow as it was. I really enjoyed this race. Entertainment-wise, absolutely 10 out of 10. Very, very fun. We had ourselves a classic finish. The only thing we were missing was a last lap pass. But either way, at least they finished pretty close side by side. And also the rain delays. Yeah, that does put a damper on how many people like the race overall. But it was exciting on Sunday, and it was exciting on Monday. So I'm happy, as always, to see Michigan always on the schedule, and I'm happy that they're keeping at least 1 2-mile racetrack. We unfortunately lost Auto Club, but after this race at Michigan, there's no way, no way in hell they're making any adjustments to this iconic racetrack. And that will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely a fun race for sure. A lot of craziness. But as far as our fantasy league went, a lot of you guys absolutely kicked ass. 17 of you able to score 200-plus points. I thought a good chunk of you were going to get really slammed by the incident that happened with some of those top drivers getting taken out. It happened to me. I finished like 42nd in our league. We're not going to talk about that. But you other 17 drivers, good job. Good job. I like I always say drivers. I see the helmets and I immediately think, oh, drivers. But here are the top three performers here from this weekend. Tied for second place, scoring 229 points. We have Brygene. Hopefully I said that right. Is it Brygene? I don't think I've seen that name before, but you scored 229 points, tied with the leader of the overall standings, Sammy By God, with 229. Congratulations to you guys, but the winner overall here of this weekend was the Motor Minister, scoring 239 points. The Motor Minister, isn't that Armani by any chance with the Motorsports Ministry podcast? Armani, are you back on your fantasy league? Because if so, you absolutely killed it here at Michigan International Speedway. So good job to you. And if this is somebody else, I'm sorry. You just have the same name as one of our guests that comes onto the show from time to time. But overall, thank you to everyone who participated here this week in fantasy. Don't forget, we only have three more races left of the regular season. Then we go into the playoffs. Next week is the Indianapolis Road Course, where we have already 39 cars on the entry list, which includes the number 67 machine, the number 33, and the number 91, all drivers who have had past supercar experience, including Shane Van Gisbergen, who was able to get the victory in his first ever race in NASCAR. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so. Just look up Vanilla Wafers on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, as well as Twitter, as I post daily content on all those channels. Instagram and TikTok are more of the short videos, NASCAR related, and a lot of people seem to really enjoy those. So if you like that type of videos, whether it's trivia, maybe it's looking for a Mario Andretti card that I have no success in finding, or just random NASCAR memes, just look up at Instagram at VanillaWafers33 or TikTok at VanillaWafers44. Next video on YouTube will be about a driver who has had some of the luckiest wins in his career, as he will be the most morally chaotic driver we have ever seen in NASCAR. That will be coming up here within the next 10 days, hopefully sooner than later. If you want to watch other videos that I've produced there on YouTube, just look me up at Vanilla Wafer. You don't have to put any numbers there, as once you look that up and go past a few of the cookie websites, I will pop up there, give my good old thumbs up that I have here on the podcast thumbnail. But that will wrap up today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.